Hey everybody, it's the Loop Mechanics Podcast. Your hosts Bealus and Scormus are here to ramble on for a while about video and tabletop games, or whatever nonsense comes into their twisted little minds. Then, if you are very lucky, they will crawl off back under the rocks from whence they came, only to return again, like clockwork, next week. Seriously, these idiots are more unavoidable than death or taxes, and much less pleasant to endure. Anyway, enjoy the show, if you can.
Hey there, everybody. Welcome back. I'm Scormus.
And I'm Bealus.
So, I understand that you would like to say something in addition to what we talked about last week.
Well, basically, right now, third-party content creators are in a bad way. And since you've already paid for your 5th edition stuff, don't just put it on the shelf and let it go to waste. Keep playing 5th edition D&D. And if you're going to buy D&D content, only buy from the third-party content creators, because they can't touch the money they're making now until that new OGL goes through.
Right.
So buy up all of the third-party content for the game that you're familiar with. Just don't buy anything from Wizards. Fuck them.
Oh, yeah.
Come on. They need the money coming in. If they're going to make a major change like this, it's going to take some capital. And to support them, buy up Fool's Gold. Buy up, Humblewood. Buy up any of these third-party content, because that way you're putting money in other people's pockets for a game that you still enjoy playing.
Sure. Fifth edition, there's no reason to hate fifth edition.
Right.
It's a game. You love fifth edition, you play that game. You love third edition, play that. Hell, there's some people that still play fourth. Whatever. You
just
love your
D&D.
Don't
buy anything from Wizards.
Exactly. Just consider that the game ends at fifth edition. There's nothing new. It's over. At least as far as Wizards of the Coast is concerned. That's perfectly reasonable. But I know I went out and ordered myself a copy of the Pathfinder 2nd Edition Bestiary because I didn't have it. I had the core rulebook. I've never played it. But I want to reward Paizo with a sale because I like what they're doing with the new OpenRPG creative license. I like how they're handling the situation. Even if it is a little, self-serving. They see blood in the water, they're going after it. That's reasonable. I mean, I've thrown money to some other people, but we'll get to that in a bit. And there are, like you said, a lot of third-party content creators who have stuff coming out still. That hasn't even been released yet.
And I mean, this release that they're putting out, that might be the only thing that keeps them in business for some of these content creators.
Yeah.
So support them.
I saw somebody who was really sad for XP to level 3 on YouTube.
Mm-hmm.
You know that guy?
Yeah.
He just wrote a book for 5th edition, the Questonomicon.
Mm-hmm.
They just had an unboxing for their copies. I don't know if it's been delivered or if it's just about to be delivered or what, but they just had that celebration. And then all the shit happened. Basically ripping the rug out from underneath him and his very small team. They got the Kickstarter. Yay. But what about future sales?
Mm-hmm.
That leaves that all up in the air. And there's a lot of people stuck in the same situation. Or worse, because Wizards could release that. I mean, as of the time of recording, they have not released their next OGL 2.0. But they could at any time. And they said stuff published prior to it, oh, it's going to be okay. I'll believe it when I see it. But they said it'll be okay. They don't have to worry. But there are people that are still working on their games, like Secret World role-playing game.
Mm-hmm.
It's not expected out until towards the end of the year, at best.
Well, and what is going to happen there is if it turns out that the OGL comes out and it's final and it's still a shit show, they're going to have to just stop and make changes to their game and just remove any OGL related material. Just strip it out and move on.
Yeah. The problem is that's extra expense.
Oh, I
extra
know.
Extra time, changing up their artwork, you know, their logos and everything. That's a lot of money for. Now, in some cases, there's going to be content creators that can afford that because that's fine. They made enough money. It's not a problem for them. For others, not so much. I mean, like Matt Colville canceled the monthly magazine they were doing.
And that was an extremely popular magazine.
That was for everybody that was at the $10 tier on Patreon, right?
Mm-hmm.
And now the $10 tier is they're getting everything that the lesser tiers get and nothing else. Basically, it's if you just want to give us extra money, go for the $10 tier, because they have super fans that will do that. They'll pay more for the same content.
Well, they're paying to help the content creator.
Exactly. But they could be doing that at the $5 tier. They're paying $10 because they want to be more helpful and they can afford it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's cool. A lot of people are going to end up doing that. There's other people that are basically going to put out system neutral stuff. Like, the Dungeon Coach.
Mm-hmm.
He was beside himself. He's not sure what he was going to do, because he's got all this stuff already developed for 5th edition, and he didn't know if they were going to make him basically just start throwing over a percentage of his Patreon to them, and whether that was going to be legal or not. And now he's just going to start developing system neutral stuff, because everybody that's on his channel is D&D focused. It's almost impossible for him at this time to move away from D&D.
Oh, that's what I was saying. With the things the times the way they are, support your local game developer.
Exactly. If you've got the money, join your favorite YouTube creator that focuses on D&D. Join their Patreon or join their channel and throw them a few bucks a month. Whether they give you a little content, extra content or not, help them out. Because things are going to get lean, I think. Anyway, shall we move on to our exciting main topic?
Sure.
Cool.
Roll the dice to see if I'm drunk.
So, Bayless.
Yes.
As we talked during the pre-show and whatnot, we're not done with this whole D&D kerfuffle. There's a lot of people that are interested, instead of staying with D&D, they want to go to a different game, especially get away from games that are in any way tied to the open game license that Wizards of the Coast put out. And I've seen some people put up some lists of games. And I thought, well, those are games. Some of them I agreed with. Most of them I completely disagreed with. But okay, because a lot of these people that were putting up these lists, all they know is D&D.
Mm-hmm.
It's like they did a cursory search of the internet and went, oh, there's Call of Cthulhu and there's Pathfinder and Blades in the Dark. Yeah, that sounds good. That's a good list. And they're not wrong. Not really.
They're just not imaginative.
There's better choices. So, you and I put our collective heads together, which have, well, nearly 50 years of experience each in role-playing, and we got a nice list of 10 games that we thought we could talk about. And let's go alphabetically, if you don't mind.
Sure.
You picked 4, I picked 6 because, well...
Well, mine were starting to get rather, you know, niche. You know, they were
kind of... You picked some interesting stuff, too, though.
Well, that was the whole point.
Right. And, let's starting from the top. This is the one game on this list that I don't own of the ones I picked.
Mm-hmm.
And that's Band of Blades. Now, what is that? Well, it's a Forged in the Dark game, which uses the same system, basically, as Blades in the Dark. And it is, well, where Blades in the Dark is a heist game set in a steampunk, dark fantasy, claustrophobic city that you can't leave. It's full of ghosts. Yes, ghosts. And you're out there, you and your friends, running a criminal enterprise. Sometimes you're doing a heist to steal gems from somebody, or you have an assassination to do and whatnot. And you do some planning, but then you run through it. And while you're doing it, you can use a flashback mechanic to, not all the time, but certain times you can use these flashback mechanics to get around a problem, such as you're moving through the mansion on your way to steal the jewels of some lord, and unexpectedly, a guard has been placed at the door to his study. And one of the players can go, oh, well, a few days ago, using their flashback mechanic, I actually met with that guard, threw him some money, and when we approach, I give him the signal, and he takes a break, and we go on in. Little things like that. It's kind of a Ocean's 11, if you know that movie. That sort of a feel, only as a fantasy role-playing game. Now, why didn't I pick that? Because Band of Blades is better. It's more directly like a D&D game. It is dark fantasy. Yeah, that's going to be a theme through this. It's military fantasy. You play a mercenary band who has gotten separated from your army. And you're running around trying to survive and, you know, make your fortune along the way in a world full of undead. So it's a dark fantasy, zombie apocalypse, horror fantasy game. Yeah, pretty much nothing like Band of Blades. It is extremely unique. Do you have any thoughts on that?
Sounds interesting, but, you know, you like a lot of fantasy horror.
I do. It's kind of my thing.
I don't mind it. I've got one on my list that's a fantasy horror game.
Yes, you do. And where I said, I don't own it yet. By the time you hear this, I probably do, because it's supposed to be delivered to me from Amazon prior to this podcast coming out. I'm sorry, I couldn't resist. I've been meaning to buy it, and I did. Now then, moving on to our next selection. Well, mine. Mm-hmm. It's kind of group up weird like that, since we're going alphabetically. This is a game I wasn't going to suggest.
That's good reason.
Yes. I have a problem with Adam Coble. He's made some poor choices, let's say, when it comes to not sexually harassing people on his podcast. And he is one of the developers, along with Sage Latora, of Dungeon World. Now, eventually, I decided to include Dungeon World on this list for a couple main reasons. Even though I have a problem with Adam Coble, I do not have a problem with this game. It is an excellent, powered by the apocalypse, fantasy role-playing game. And if you're coming from Dungeons & Dragons, especially 5th edition, and you're looking for that sort of a classic power fantasy role-playing game, but you don't want to play D&D anymore for obvious reasons, Dungeon World is an obvious choice. Not only is it easy to pick up and play, it is designed specifically to feel like classic Dungeons and Dragons. It's got levels like Dungeons and Dragons, spells, similar monsters, things like, in fact, it's a big, thick book, and 2/3 to 3/4 of it is monsters. So it has massive amounts of content, and like 5th edition Dungeons and Dragons, or like Dungeons and Dragons in general, it has a lot of third-party creator support already. There are people, you can go online and download all kinds of stuff for Dungeon World. New classes, new spells, new monsters, adventures, all hacks, different flavors of Dungeon World, like Perilous Wilds. It is just chock full of awesomeness with one problem, Adam Coble. If you can just ignore that, Dungeon World is an excellent game and well worth your time. Thoughts?
Well, I have trouble getting beyond the whole, you know, creepy developer, but it's a choice.
Well, that's why it's only one of 10 options.
Exactly.
But for those who really want a D&D experience, it's the closest to Dungeons & Dragons on this list, I do believe.
Well, the next one
yep.
is almost as far away from D&D as you can get, because it's, well, it's Earthdawn.
Yeah.
And it is Lovecraftian horror and fantasy all kind of meshed together. You have a lot of cool character choices, a lot of cool races. It's a fun game. I mean, we played it for years, and it's a blast. It's not the easiest system to work with.
Oh, no.
But if you're willing to, you know, work with it, it's a lot of fun.
That is the one good thing about Earthdawn, in my opinion, is homebrewing.
Mm-hmm.
I would take the whole magic system, toss it out the window, and go with something that is not completely fucked. But then again, they're on 4th edition Earthdawn now. We played 1st edition years ago.
Yeah.
So maybe things are different. But according to their website, you can still use the older editions with 4th edition. It just might require some adjustments. I would hope that they've like made magic usable, but you know, that's just me. Anyway, what about your next game?
Well, my next one is, it's been around forever.
Yes.
And surprisingly enough, it has a huge amount of people following it and playing it.
Yeah.
It's the generic universal role-playing system, or GURPS.
Yep.
You're never going to have to worry about the D&D OGL with this.
No.
It's just its own thing, and that's not always a bad thing.
No.
Personally, I've never played it, but I have a friend who is, I'd like to say, hardcore fan about it, but I don't think he's played in the last 20 years either, so maybe not so hardcore anymore.
But he loves him some GURPS.
Oh, yeah. He definitely sees the benefit behind it.
Yeah. I would say the best thing behind GURPS is that where 5th edition D&D had this massive third-party content creation community, GURPS, while completely controlled by Steve Jackson Games, is a universal system with hundreds of source books. Literally, you can go, okay, I'm going to get the GURPS Fantasy book, or I have the core rule book, get GURPS Fantasy, GURPS Magic, and GURPS Sci-Fi, and just kind of cram them together, because they're all compatible, and make my own thing. Here's my setting. It's got some science. It's got fantasy. It's got magic. Boom. Or maybe you take their Wild West stuff and fantasy and GURPS. or whatever. Or you just keep it classic fantasy. Whatever you want to do. That's the beauty of it. It's all modular and connects together. Personally, I don't like it. I have Girl Genius role-playing game, right? Based on the webcomic.
Yeah.
And it uses GURPS 4th edition. Now, maybe my mind is addled through age or whatever. I found the system to be exceedingly convoluted. It just was, it did not flow right for me. And I had quite a bit of difficulty with it. That could entirely be on me. I have no problem saying that. It just wasn't for me. But for other people, like our friend, absolutely adores it, thinks it's one of the best games ever made. How many times did he try to talk us into playing GURPS?
A few times.
Yeah. We always overruled him because, you know, Pathfinder or D&D. But still, he tried.
Oh, yeah.
All in all, I would say, considering, oh, it does have this, a massive community. Massive.
Yeah. Massive.
You want to, I didn't have the time to go and meet a bunch of people and go, teach me how to play GURPS. I don't understand. I didn't have that time. I had a podcast to roll with. But if you wanted to try GURPS, there are literally, you go on the internet, you can go onto their Reddit pages or whatnot, find GURPS. There will be people willing to walk you through it, answer all your questions, because Grognard's got a Grognard, and they love GURPS. Those people are hardcore fans, and they're helpful, or so I've been told.
Well, and that's not saying a whole lot, because there's still people out there who absolutely adore the Palladium role-playing system.
That's true. Yeah, well, people
and
make
that's
bad
just
choices.
Disappointment.
Yeah. Now then, on to option number 5. I love this game. I will swear by it to my dying breath, Iron Sworn. If you're coming from D&D and you're wanting something a little gritty, maybe something a little Viking flavored or along those lines, doesn't have to be, you can play it however you like, but it's designed kind of Viking-like. That's Iron Sworn. You want to play it as a regular group with a game master and some players? Works perfect for that. You want to play it with just some friends with no game master? You can use oracles to take the place of that, and you can do it that way. Works fine. It's all built in. You want to play it alone? You can do that. You've got the oracles. It works. It's originally designed as a solo role-playing game. You can play Iron Sworn however you like. And one thing that's awesome about it, yeah, you can buy a print copy. I think they're like $20 off of DriveThruRPG, something like that. You can get them cheaper sometimes. You want the PDF, though? That's free. So you can check it out. Do whatever you want to it. You don't even want to play it. You want to use this, the oracles? Go for it. Use them in another system. Works fine. It is a really quality game. I swear by it and the sci-fi version, Iron Sworn Starforged. Just got that not too long ago. But for this case, Iron Sworn, I would say it's probably even better than 5th edition for doing a gritty fantasy adventure.
Well, 5th edition is not really meant for gritty.
It can be, though. I mean, it's not crunchy, but you can do gritty.
Well, without a lot of homebrew, not really.
All depends on how you run it. Then again, D&D without an adventure book pretty much is all homebrew, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Your world, your setting, all that. Anyway, what do you think about Iron Sworn?
Well, it's interesting. Might give it a try one of these years. We'll have to see.
Yeah. I mean, it's one of the best things I like about it is that you can download it for free.
Uh-huh.
And
kind of like one of the other games on the list.
Exactly. And the thing is about that, my coworker that's really into role-playing games, he got the free PDF. And then went ahead like the next day and ordered a print-on-demand version of the book because he absolutely had to have it. He loved it that much. And he's a hardcore, or I'm sorry, was a hardcore D&D guy. So that's an example of how it can grab you. It's just a super simple mechanic. I love the way it uses, basically, you mark off boxes as you go along to try and reach your goals. It's all about adventure and exploration, but it can be exceedingly dangerous, especially when you're playing solo. Speaking of exceedingly dangerous when played solo, oh, you knew it had to come out.
Of course it did.
Because I know it's not like your standard D&D. I know that.
Not even close.
But it is actually very, well, it is based off of, and, well, not based off of, but inspired by old school revival games. And that's Merkborg, baby. This little art book, this art punk fantasy game out of Sweden, if you can get behind the overall thought behind it, the almost silliness behind how bleak the world is. It's a fantasy world on the edge of an apocalypse. And it is just ridiculously fun. Way more fun than I ever thought it would be. And it is just silly. Magic is really something you don't want to use. And so, of course, you use it. And boy, is it bad for your health. But doesn't matter, because it's just fun. I expect this is almost a drinking game in how much fun it is. Get together with a group, peanuts, beer, and, well, go fuck stuff up. Now, I've talked to you many, many a time about Merkborg. I'm sure you have thoughts, sir.
Oh, I'm not one of those hardcore, you know, gritty realism kind of DMs or player. I do like some grit to the game, as in the last one on the list, but Merkborg, it's kind of one of those games where you're picking a lock and you scratch your finger on a rusty keyhole, and then your hand falls off. Kind of game.
Hey, when I played it solo, I ran into walking through an area that is full of undead, and it was all foggy, and I couldn't see something, but something started crying nearby. It sounded like a baby. It was a toddler, a giant toddler, like as in the child of a giant, which appeared to have died of the plague, and yet rose out of its shallow, you know, mass grave and wanted its mommy. I wanted to run.
No, oh, you wanted your mommy.
That is kind of just a taste of Merkborg, but it can be done so much. There's so much you can do with it. And it's just so visceral, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, moving on. Yes, I have another one before you get to talk again. One last little game. Not my last, but whatever. It's a little game called SCUP, which is short for The Sword, The Crown, and The Unspeakable Power. Let me tell you a little bit about SCUP. Oh, let me find SCUP. Okay, there it is. So, first of all, this is yet another Powered by the Apocalypse game. This was actually going to be the only one I had on my list back when I had a shorter list, but felt like I had to add Dungeon World in because reasons. SCUP is self-described as a dark fantasy role-playing game, right? Mostly because it's setting. This is not Merkborg, though. This is not Earthdawn. This is not Band of Blades in that regard.
Right.
It is not dark in that regard. It's dark because you've got this fantasy game, but meshed over it is effectively, without saying so, it's effectively Game of Thrones. This is a very factional type of game where you've got houses fighting against houses, all kinds of court intrigue and whatnot in a high fantasy world. Reading off the back of the book, take control of fantasy sorcerers, regal nobles, and hardened warriors as you plot your rise to glory. Will others step on you as they ascend the social hierarchy? Or will you hack and claw your way to be the one who wears the crown? I'm sorry, that's fucking awesome. Thoughts?
Well, Game of Thrones with magic sounds fun.
Mm-hmm.
I'd be willing to give it a try. It depends upon how functional the system is, though. If the system just is bogged down with, you know, minutiae, it's not so fun anymore.
Well, you remember when we played, I know it's been a while, but Monster of the Week?
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty much the same way. The 2d6, if I remember right, this runs with the 2d6. And, yeah, it's exactly that. Different attribute names, but 2d6 added with the relevant attribute bonus and compared to, you just look at your results. 6 and below is a failure, 79 is a partial success, 10 and above is a full success. Game Master doesn't have to roll for anything. It's exceedingly easy to learn. I'm not sure how their magic works. Hopefully it works very similar to Monster of the Week, which is kind of freeform and allows you to build your spells however you like. You have like an element to work with and you can just combine their abilities to focus up what you want. You just describe your effect and roll for it. But regardless, I haven't played this, but I loaned it to that co-worker of mine when he went on a religious retreat. He came back singing its praises, and he went and got himself a copy. So I'm pretty sure it's a good game, and I also plan on playing it for the podcast soonish. Eventually.
Which you'll hear like it eventually. Years from now.
Yeah. Sorry, I'm a little bit ahead.
A little bit. What, 3 years?
No, I'm only halfway through 2024. I haven't been doing anything because it's been too cold. Anyway, I believe you have the next game, sir.
Well, the next game, when we first learned of it, we were intrigued because the tagline on it was no elves.
Yeah.
And if you go through the book, there's no elves, there's no dwarves, there's no standard fantasy trope characters. It's definitely fantasy, but it's so much more than that. It's, I don't know if you've ever heard of the Dying Earth series.
I've heard of it. That's Jack Vance, right?
I think so.
Yeah.
But it's one of those, it's just an interesting setting. And it also has a lot of inspiration from, like, H.P. Lovecraft.
Now, what game is it, sir?
Oh, Talos Lanta.
You see, I knew that. They don't.
Talos Lanta has another really nice feature to it. The earlier editions. We played the second edition, I think?
Third. I have two copies of third edition.
But what's nice about it is the early editions, the PDFs, are free.
Uh-huh. The link I put up on the in the show notes is to the fourth edition. Fifth edition uses the D&D fifth edition rules. I would advise against it.
I mean, if you're into the fifth edition and you want to try something that's not D&D, you know, get it now before the OGL kicks in.
Yeah.
That way Wizards doesn't get any of it.
But the PDFs for 4th edition and behind, before that, are free off their website. Holy crap, that's awesome. My ass is going to be downloading some shit. I'm sorry, I have two copies of third edition. I think they're third. Let me pull one of them down here real quick. It kind of looks like the fourth edition cover. No, fourth edition. I have two copies of it. So why? That's a funny story. I bought a copy, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we went to a game. I'd forgotten about it. Just put it in with my games and didn't think about it because we weren't playing that then. We went up to a game store in Portland. I went, oh, look, Talislanta. Grabbed it, bought it. So in the course of 3 months, I bought two copies of a game that we have played once.
Hey, we played more than that.
It hasn't been much, but it was definitely a very unique game. And I can swear by fourth edition. I like that. Mm-hmm. It's
a lot of fun.
Definitely different. It's, I want to say it's kind of like John Carpenter of Mars. I mean, John Carter of Mars. You know, Barsoom.
Yeah, Warlord of Mars series.
But it's not. It's not science fiction. But you've got, instead of elves, you got more lizardman type creatures. And it is definitely very fantasy. But a unique fantasy setting that's the main reason people like Talislanta. It's got a setting and a half. It makes me wonder what the company's going to do based off of this recent Wizards bullshit. Are they going to put out a sixth edition and say, hey, forget about that other stuff?
Might as well.
Yeah.
Because this is another game that has a really good cluster of players who absolutely love it. They're the anti-D&D people. Because if you talk to any Talislanta fan, they have never played D&D, don't want to play D&D, and if they did play D&D, they really don't want to talk about it because it just wasn't for them. It was a bad experience, and they just, nope. They moved on, and they're much happier with Talislanta.
It honestly actually surprises me that considering that community, that the company would release their 5th edition as being compatible with Dungeons & Dragons 5th edition.
Because they're trying to drag 5th edition players over to what they consider to be a better game.
Yeah. Well, kind of making the setting available and more accessible to them. They can go, hey, you know, you like this, but hey, everybody's playing 4th edition. Maybe you should try that. Hey, the rules are free. If you can find one of the books out there, awesome. But I don't know. It also could be a, hey, we're exceedingly niche game, but there's a lot of money to be had selling 5th edition compatible stuff. Let's release a copy like that. I mean, hell, Call of Cthulhu did it back in the day with a D20 version. So, anywho, considering weird fantasy, like Talislanta's kind of a different weird fantasy setting, let me tell you about a weird science fantasy game. Now, I know we're looking for replacements for D&D, right? But I decided to include this game, even though it's not straight fantasy, for a couple reasons. One, it's a fucking awesome game, and D&D has some settings that are similarly have science, you know,
Eberron.
Built into them. Eberron, for example.
Spelljammer.
Right. So that's not an excuse to cut it out. And secondly, you know how Merkborg has a really awesome third-party creator license?
Mm-hmm.
This game, by the way, it's Troika, has at least as good of a third-party license. And it has a pretty big third-party creator community making stuff that's Troika compatible all the time. Downloadable online. It is just good stuff. Troika in itself is kind of weird, but it's not that hard of a game to learn. It's just got some weird mechanics that are gonna, if of any of the games on this list, it's the one that's probably, like with GURPS, gonna make D&D players go, wait, what? But there are ways around it. For example, initiative. In D&D, how do you roll initiative?
You roll a 20-sided.
Right. You all add
plus your dex or whatever.
Yeah, you roll, you get your initiative in there, boom. Everybody goes, let's figure out the scores, whatever. Well, in Troika, it's done a little differently. Everybody has basically some initiative. Sometimes they'll have two things of initiative, sometimes one or three, depending on what type of character they are, that sort of thing. And let's say we represent them with cards. Everybody has cards that are either colored differently or has their name on it or whatever. And they, when it comes to combat time, they all hand in their cards to the Game Master. Then the Game Master takes cards for the initiative of the enemies and puts them in with the stack. And finally, an additional card that they put into the stack. Then they shuffle all these, mix them all up real good. Draw the top one, boom, it says, you go first. So you take your action. Draw again, hey, one of the monsters gets to go. They go and do their thing. And you continue this on down through the list, because some people are going to have multiple cards, right? Which means multiple actions. Sometimes some people will never get picked, because eventually that extra card will come up. And it says, end of combat. Take all the cards that were used, shuffle them all back together, and you do it again until the battle's won, or you hit end of combat again. Because after the second time through, it's over. The fight is over. A little weird.
Definitely weird.
Yes. But the thing is, they have what I used when I played it solo. I used an online initiative tracker. They've got a webpage you can go to, and you just throw in, you know, this person has this many chits, yada, 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 and then it just randomly tells you who's going. And it lets you know when it's end of combat or when we're restarting the, you know, go to the next initiative round, that sort of thing. So if you use some of those online tools, online character generators, that sort of thing, super easy. And the good reason about it, having that third-party content creator license, like Merc Borg, which has a lot of web tools. You have these with Troika as well, and it makes the game way more playable. Is it like D&D? No. But my way of seeing it is if you're going to step away from D&D, which is your classic power fantasy game, you can play it in a bunch of different settings, but it is, at its core, power fantasy, high fantasy game, right? If you're going to step away from that and try something new, then try something fucking new and try Troika. Which, by the way, last time I saw was that they've been recently had a sale for like 50% off. I don't know if it's still going, but holy crap. That would have been the time to buy. I think they also have an upcoming new edition, which is the same exact game. They're just changing up the art. So, I don't know. What do you think?
Well, I don't know. Most of the games on your list are real big, iffy games for me, because it just seems clunky.
Well, you've also never played them. So, no direct base of knowledge about them, other than what I've told you and... There's nothing wrong with that.
Hell, maybe you're just not a good salesman.
I don't have to be a good salesman. All we're doing here is we're giving advice, right?
Yeah.
And I think if you like your some Spelljammer or Planescape especially, you're going to probably like Troika, which is a sort of game where you bounce from dimension to dimension to dimension, different worlds, different spheres, and run with a very diverse group that could be everything from swamp witches to giants to all manner of weird stuff. But anyway, that was our ninth game. What is our final game you would like to talk about, sir?
Well, early on in our gaming, there was a game that came out that almost made D&D a thing of the past, because we played the hell out of it.
Yep.
And that's the Warhammer Fantasy role-playing game.
Hell yeah.
Everybody has heard of Warhammer somewhere in their life, whether it be the Warhammer 40K game or the video games that came out. There was even an MMO, wasn't there?
Yeah, I played it.
But the Warhammer Fantasy role-playing game is unique because you don't play an adventurer, per se. Your starting class is a rat catcher. You know, you're a like a butcher. I mean, you're a carpenter, a mason. You're these mundane people in a fucked up world.
Yep.
And chaos is just beyond the walls. And it is nothing to fuck with. It is hard. You will get fucked up if you go against chaos and you don't have a group, a powerful group behind you.
Yeah.
Hell, even having a powerful group behind you, you're still likely to end up fucked up. The critical hit table is hysterically fun.
Oh, yeah.
It sucks when it happens to you.
Sure.
But, I mean, you basically roll to see where you hit when you attack somebody. And then you roll to see what happens. And so, say you rolled and you hit them in the leg, the left leg. And then you roll again to see what happens. And your blow is so impactful, the leg comes off and the creature dies in 1 to 3 turns.
Mm-hmm.
They just bleed out. And I mean, once you've knocked their leg off, they're out of combat. They are pretty much dead. They're going to bleed out in 3 rounds.
I always loved the one where you catch them across the torso and just split them from freaking groin to shoulder, spilling entrails and spewing you with blood. That was... If
Very
nothing
graphic
else,
descriptions.
Warhammer is exceedingly graphic.
But it is intensely, I mean, it is just amazing amounts of fun. It is just, I can't say enough good things about it. Now, we did play first edition.
Yes.
I don't know if we ever played any of the editions that came out afterwards.
We didn't.
I don't even know how many editions there actually are.
Well, actually, they keep coming out with them. Let me look. I have 2 copies of first edition, and for some reason that's all sticky. I have this, which...
that's not something you want to say on the air, dude.
No, I know.
For some reason, that's sticky. You really like that game then, huh?
No, there was like a sticker that came off the back, and I was like, why is that there?
Joke just right past.
Yeah, I know. I'm ignoring you.
Grow your hair out so you can catch those.
This was... It doesn't say what edition it is. It was published... This edition was published by Green Ronin and Black Industries. So, in 2005.
Which again, Green Ronin makes... You know, they publish good games.
Yeah. But it's definitely updated from previous editions. I think they're currently on Warhammer 4th edition. There's an Age of Sigmar book out. And I've considered snagging that, but haven't gotten... I don't know. I can't justify it with everything else I have.
But it's kind of a Germanic setting.
Oh, absolutely.
It is definitely not D&D.
But it is. It's your high fantasy, I would say kind of dark fantasy, too. It's gritty.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
And the combat takes forever. So much so that it drove certain people like your wife away from playing it. We'd get into combats and it would take over an hour to fight a simple fight. That's one thing I think really would need to be homebrewed if you were playing the first edition. At least, I don't know if they've changed it with later ones.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, it's very detailed.
sometimes combat wouldn't take forever because it would be, you know, you struck them in the neck and their head went flying.
Oh, sure. If you got lucky, but a good portion of the time, it's you attack, you miss, or you hit their armor and don't get through. They attack you, they miss, or they hit your armor and don't get through. And back and forth and back and forth and back and forth until somebody gets lucky or rolls a crit.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I mean, and the thing is, that's not necessarily incorrect. It's just, it can get a little stale.
Mm-hmm.
But the game in itself, though, is fun.
Mm-hmm.
That is another beer and pizza, laugh your ass off type of game.
Mm-hmm.
Which seems weird for such a gritty, dark setting. I mean, it is...
Yeah, but it's not so dark that it overwhelms everything else. It doesn't shadow the rest of the game. It's not like... just oppressive darkness. It's kind of a black comedy.
Yes, exactly. And oh man, especially if you buy the if you get your hands on the editions put out by Games Workshop. And I know people will say Games Workshop is worse than Wizards of the Coast in a lot of ways, but the writing in their books is absolutely hilarious at times. Definitely went with the whole British black humor in those books.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it definitely has a warm spot in my heart. Anyhow, shall we move on?
Sure.
Are we done with this shit yet?
Okay, so, do you have anything you'd like to talk about before we go, sir?
I went and purchased something for nostalgia's sake. I finally went and got Final Fantasy for my computer.
Which one?
The very first one, you know, that came out in America. Final Fantasy 1.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Like I said, it's just a nostalgia kick.
Yeah.
Still tons of fun to play.
Uh-huh.
Haven't gotten very far into it, but, you know, it's one of those games that really just sucks up your time.
Yeah. And you gotta basically just run around killing things, going back and healing, run around, kill some things, and level up before you can go face the first real dungeon.
Mm-hmm.
If I remember right, you gotta be at least fourth level, so...
I did it at second level.
Okay. You're better than me. Point is... It's
no,
a great
I didn't
little...
realize it was something that you should, you know, build up for. I just went in.
Yeah.
Yeah, I almost didn't make it out, but I did.
It is a great classic little JRPG, though. I mm-hmm. love those turn-based combats. Just, it's fun, like you said.
Yep.
I think there are better Final Fantasy games, but it's still a good amount of fun. Be honest, though, I'm kind of surprised. You always seem more like one of the early Ultima guys with the airships
no, actually,
and all that.
No, actually, that was my wife. She was a huge Ultima player. She beat several of them.
And I always liked Dragon Warrior, which is now Dragon Quest.
And I still was a huge fan of the Dragon Warrior Dragon Quest series.
Yeah. Good stuff. Now, speaking of video games, though, because, yes, we do talk about video games occasionally, just not the last couple weeks, there's been no news, at least not when we're recording on the
15th. Well, actually, there has. Trying to remember the name of the studio. Well, there's a... God, I can't believe I forgot it. Just a second. Let me... not Bungie. It's... there's a new... Or not a new studio, it's an old studio that's looking to possibly be bought out by PlayStation. Ubisoft.
Ubisoft, really?
Yeah, they're going down. I mean, they're sinking fast.
Yeah.
And they're looking at possibly being bought out by Sony.
Yeah. Now, we're recording this on the 15th, so by the time people hear this, could have already
it
happened.
May have already been resolved. Yeah. Right. But that's another thing that I can't imagine that, you know, everybody's bitching about Microsoft buying Blizzard, but yet PlayStation or Sony is still going around buying up studios as fast as they possibly can.
Yeah,
that's
well,
that's not an issue.
Yeah. Last I heard, Google and Nvidia have joined with Sony trying to stop Microsoft. All because of Call of Duty. I mean, seriously, who gives a fuck about Call of Duty?
Enough people, apparently.
Anyway, so...
Yeah, get back to what you had to say.
I was going to talk about a little bit about Animal Crossing New Horizons, which, if things go the way I'm feeling they will, is soon going to be Animal Crossing No Horizons. Yes, after nearly 3 years of daily playing that game, I'm thinking of basically stepping away. Now, my sweetie says I should log in at least once a week to keep the roaches out of the house. I might, but it's gotten to the point where I'm just playing for 15 minutes a day, basically. Run around, do the very basic stuff, take care of your money tree, do a couple of the little side quests, check in, sell what you got to sell, move on, you know, save and go.
Mm-hmm.
That's not playing the game anymore. That's meeting a basic obligation. It's like doing another job. And why? I had one last thing I wanted to do, and that was finish up all the fishing journeys. I did. I needed the one from January because I kept missing it the last few years. Well, I got it done. So, yay. Good for me. I don't have all the little quests and such done, but so what? It's a game. I can come back to it at any time and do some more. Or not. I mean, I compare this to Stardew Valley and games like Graveyard Keeper, for example. I like them. Do I play them every day? No. I haven't played them in a long time. Why? What's the difference? I enjoyed the hell out of Graveyard Keeper. I thought it was funny as hell. Way more fun than Animal Crossing. And yet, I almost never play it. Why? I think maybe I need to figure out the answer to that myself. Maybe I need to play Graveyard Keeper again, jump in for a few minutes every morning instead of jumping into Animal Crossing. I mean, they're not giving us new content. They're just turning on the old content. So, I don't know. I can't think of a... If I can't think of a good reason to keep playing a game, then maybe I shouldn't keep playing that game, right?
Yeah.
Like, maybe it's just more of a, yeah, but I've been doing it for so long, why not just knock out 15 minutes and get it done, right? That's not playing the game, though. That's just me wasting 15 to 20 minutes of my time. So anyway, it's sad and it's kind of depressing, but it is what it is, right?
Yeah.
Anyway, that's kind of a bummer note to leave it on.
Why?
You know,
you enjoyed the game. You played it for all you got, all the value you could get out of it. Now you're bored. Stuff happens.
Yeah.
I got bored with it a while ago.
I could always jump back into it at any time, too. So, mm-hmm. I mean, it's not going anywhere. It's not like I'm going to take my cartridge and flush it down the toilet. It's just, I want to play something else. I want to pull that. That cartridge hasn't been pulled out of the cartridge slot in months. It's the only game that's been in that cartridge slot. I have a bunch. I literally have never played some of the games I've bought on cartridge.
Mm-hmm.
Because I just haven't bothered to pull them out and, you know, swap. What the hell is wrong with me? It's weird because I have Civilization 6. I love the Civilization games. I've played it once for about 10 minutes and decided, nah, I'm going to try something else. Put Animal Crossing back in. That's the sign of a problem, isn't it?
Well, you're going to resolve that problem, though.
I'm going to try anyway. We'll see how that goes. I make no guarantees. When we record again in 2 weeks from now, for next week's show, we'll see where we're going with the whole quitting Animal Crossing. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, so until next time, I'm Scormus.
And I'm Baelus.
Generic catchphrase ending.
Well, look at that. You made it through an entire episode. Good for you. Now, here's your prize. Ads. Please drop by whatever service you heard this abomination of a podcast on, and give the show a great review. You can also come by our website scormy.com, check out our blogs, podcasts, and other content, and leave some comments. Finally, join our Discord server. You can listen to us record Loop Mechanics live, and chat with other fans. You'll find the link on the website. Until next time, I'm the digital voiceover guy, telling you to kindly, fuck off.